Wing Commander Gutsy, this just in from a Seagull near Dover. None of them made it back alive.
None of them? But those were some of our top flyers.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm just the messenger pigeon.
If we don't find some more birds fast, our goose is going to be cooked.
Our goose is going to be cooked. That clip from a 2005 animation called Valiant tells of three war pigeons flying across the English Channel, approaching the White Cliffs of Dover, carrying vital messages to Great Britain. The film was inspired by true stories of hundreds of pigeons that helped soldiers during the Second World War. Pigeons have long played an important role in war. Their homing ability, their speed, and their high-altitude flying makes them perfect military messengers. But what's always been a mystery to pigeon lovers and scientists alike is how they actually managed to find their way home across such vast distances. A current paper in the Journal of Experimental Biology has put forward a very simple yet complicated solution. One of its authors is Professor Hans-Peter Lipp from the Institute of Anatomy at the University of Zurich in Switzerland, and he joins us now from the studios in Zurich to tell us more about it. Good afternoon, Hans-Peter. I'm told you have puzzled for some time over this issue of how homing pigeons make their way home. What have you discovered?
So basically, we discovered that the homing pigeons seem to have an unusual sense for gravity. And this is not absolutely new in the field, but has never been put into the context of a theory. Up to now, the conventional theory holds that pigeons do have several mechanisms for maintaining direction. That's the position of the sun, maybe the inclination and the intensity of the Earth's magnetic field, and that they use these mechanisms to steer home. But if you have mechanisms to steer home, you must know where you are. And this is called the map sense. And the nature of these map sense has eluded many attempts for investigation. And working with pigeons, first in the Swiss Army for a long time, then at the university, and was never really satisfied with the explanations being offered. Until I met a interesting Ukrainian scientist and inventor, Valery Kanevsky. And he came up with a surprisingly simplistic theory, in as much as he said, okay, what is all this talk about these different mechanisms? This, every bird, and maybe other animals too, could find home from whatever place on the Earth, if he becomes imprinted to the gravity vector at the place where it is born. And if you imagine, let's say, an apple or an orange, and you put in a toothpick, then you have, that goes to the center of the apple, then you have the gravity vector. If somehow, and mysteriously, the pigeon brain, or the bird brain in general, can remember the direction of the stick and how the horizontal was at this place, comes to another location, and can then compare the memory of the place or of the conditions at the birthplace with the gravity vector at the release site. Basically, it's then simple trigonometry, and it's easier to explain it by the way a gyroscope works. A gyro that spins at very high speed, and it tells you if you activate it at the given place, then you know that these gyros remain very stable. So they maintain the vertical axis and also the right angle orientation of the horizontal plane. And when you suspend it in a box that has no friction, then you can move with this apparatus away, and you will observe during your displacement that the angle of this this gyrus, this rotating disc, will no longer be aligned with the actual verticality you feel, so with the local plumb. If you go for 100 kilometers, it will be in our latitude approximately 1 degree. If you go 200 kilometers, the inclination difference will be two degrees. Or if you go 1,000 kilometers, then the angle between the locally measured gravity vector, the plumb, and the memorized gravity vector will be then about 10 degrees. And it also tells you the direction. So basically, if the pigeon has something like that in mind, then it can simply estimate the distance home, and it can also calculate what the direction is it has to take. And having this, it can use then its other senses to maintain a compass direction, looks at the sun, judges the magnetic field, and can then maintain a straight course, or more or less straight course, homewards.
Hans-Peter, the gyroscope is a mechanical device, and it retains its position because of the angular momentum of the mass. It's spinning
around.
That's
absolutely clear.
And this overrides the any change that the gravity vector would have on it. But it's very difficult to see how the head of a little bird could have any such device within it. I mean, it can't be a rotating mass. Are there any other useful hypotheses to explain how a memory of a gravity vector can be retained when you move to another position?
Honestly, no, because you ask the usual question that came up when this is being proposed. I was arguing, also when I heard this, then in a little meeting, the discussion was started immediately in the same way. But I was thinking about how can we test the hypothesis that gravity vector angles are in fact, or have some impact on pigeon homing. But coming back again to the gyroscope, this is of course an analogy. If you look at the internet, you will find that the Grumman, for example, offers for rockets, spaceship, and the large planes a relatively small non-mechanical gyroscope based on nuclear spin. And of course, with that, you get rid of all the mechanical implications, because it's clear that if a bird would have a true little gyroscope in his head, it would probably bang around and it would be impossible to be used as it is, let's say, in the old airplanes. The new ones don't have mechanical ones anymore, if I'm not completely mistaken.
Is that a case of what they call quantum entanglement, where a paired particle knows somehow what its mate's situation is when a change takes place? Is that the principle there? And are you suggesting that such paired particles in the heads of birds could possibly explain the knowledge of the vector?
It's a possibility. I really don't rule it out. The only thing what I can say is that probably our notion of sensing verticality, that means feeling the acceleration, is based on mechanoreceptors in the inner ear. And the evidence, if such things exist in the brain of the pigeon, or a gravity sensor or something sensing the directionality of a gravity field, then it's probably distributed in countless cells across the brain. And usually people do not realize that body cells, even the immune systems, are extremely sensitive to gravity. And no one knows how our body cells do sense gravity. But give them 2 minutes of zero gravity, just one parabolic flight, then they start activating a whole set of genes, which is called the gravitome, And what these proteins then do is also absolutely unclear. But the point is, a cell, one single cell, can feel it. And if you do have, let's say, 1 million, 2 million cells in a bird brain, that can be easily achieved, that do have sort of a sense in this in this constellation, then you can average even relatively imprecise measurement of a single cell to fantastically high precisions. But that's pure speculation.
Hans-Peter, this is all very theoretical. Did you, in fact, do any practical experiments with your pigeons to prove your theory?
Yes. This was the point which, of course, needed to be done. And once again, it's not my theory, it's Valery Kanevsky's theory. And so I cooperated with him. We discussed when he showed his data, his gyroscope idea or analogy, if you like. And he had been tracking in about 30 years ago pigeons in the Ukraine with a helicopter, shadowing them. The pigeons had even some telemetrical devices on the head sending EEG signals. And he claimed that the pigeons were changing their course when they crossed gravity anomalies. And this would be one of the predictions of his theory. So I said, okay, we have now developed during the last couple of years small GPS systems on birds. We might even have, could record electric brain activity. So let us test the theory. And testing the theory would mean that one has to go to a completely flat countryside like the central Ukraine and search there for gravity anomalies in which the gravity vector in the border zones of the anomaly is slightly, I would say, tilted. And there is a possibility to map such distortion of the gravity vector. It's basically a phenomenon that has been discovered many years ago by a Hungarian physicist, Eötvös, who used to measure the horizontal attraction, the horizontal gravity that is exerted by underground masses. And mapping this gives you then regions which show a anomaly of the gravity vector. And if Valery's theory would be right, then releasing pigeons on such anomaly sites or in the neighborhood of them should reveal deviations in their flight path, miscalculations of the position, lost pigeons. And this is what we found.
Now, Hans-Peter, you have the greatest anomaly in gravitation very close to you there in Switzerland because you have the Alps. Now, if birds get disorientated because of a big mass close to them, then a bird flying up an alpine valley or flying in front of, say, the north face of the Eiger is going to have its orientation completely disoriented by this huge mass to one side. Is there any actual evidence that migrating birds coming close to the Alps or passing over them or up alpine valleys get lost as a result?
Not much, no. And the point is that we have a, or we must then distinguish what is the bird doing when he's starting. And to make it the story relatively short, in the pigeons we do have what we call the compass flyers. They seem to take, after they start, a direction. And then it's look like they would switch to an autopilot. They don't look left, they don't look right, they never follow topographic structures. They just maintain a flight to the approximate position where the loft is, and then they correct a little bit. So basically like a transatlantic plane, which has an autopilot and then is caught by the radio guidance that bring him to the airport. And my feeling is that the migratory birds, that they do, in fact, fly with a compass and adjust temporarily when they find obstacles. But coming back, you are right that in the Alps there would be problems. And in fact, I tried it also with the homing pigeons. And if you go on top of a mountain, then usually it's not a big problem. But if you are on the flanks of a very steep mountain, the pigeons are really disturbed. It's pretty difficult to also, then they take a very long time to come home. And because it's obvious, as you said, that they, such a mass, a laterally acting mass, that seems the point, is able to interfere with the navigational sense. Finally, in this context, I always wondered why geese are flying so high over the Himalaya and never following the valleys or trying to cross it at deeper levels.
Hans-Peter, I've always been puzzled and curious about pigeons and their homing or migratory abilities, because of course the wild ancestor of the domestic pigeon, the rock dove, is a completely non-migratory species. Do you think that this this ability might be something that's intrinsic to all birds? Is it something that has arisen independently in different migratory species, or is it something we still don't really know?
I think it's probably, as many as other my colleagues believe, that this is present in all birds, but is not used to the same extent. If we speak of pigeons, a closely relative of the homing pigeons, the migratory pigeons that is now extinct, was a long-distance navigator. And it's unlikely that these closely related species do have completely different mechanisms. So this is one point, and I believe, I think that basically, if you put it, I bring it to one point, that most birds use the same principle, but the ecological situation, let's say, of a sparrow is so that it may not make use of it, and I don't know about much displacement experience with sparrows, but generally, if you use, let's say, hawks and other birds, you bring them away, they will come up or will return sooner or later. But in most cases, the difference to the homing pigeon is that wild birds are not coming always to the same place being picked up.
Hans-Peter, I was seasick recently. Now, an explanation for seasickness is discrepancies between the information coming from various senses. The vestibular system, as it's called, integrates sound and sight and motion, direction of gravity and so forth. And when there's a discrepancy between these, you get confused, you get dizzy and you fall over and you become sick and so on and so forth. Now, the pigeon is flying across your crater suddenly gets erroneous readings about where gravity is due to the strange effect of this great vacuum in the ground. So could this be sufficient to upset him and make him, the vestibular system, misfire and produce a disorientation? Orientated seasick pigeon, or is that a possibility?
Yeah, the question is very good, and in principle, it illustrates first one of the things you said, because being seasick, at least for me, means, or I became seasick when I was in one of these big ferries on the deck. There was not much acceleration in the movement of the ship, and there was then the discrepancy between a memory for verticality. These are the lines of the walls and the ceilings. They always tell us how the gravity vector should be, except if you live in an anthroposophic house. And so this is then a sort of perhaps seasickness that affects the pigeon. I personally feel that part of the observations we made in the Ukraine is just a reaction of the pigeon in that something is really, as you said, is not matching. I've observed in Switzerland, for example, where I trained pigeons all the time in the same direction, and this usually guarantees that they return even if you get in to a bad region. And when everything went well, pigeons returned all the time rather quickly, up to 45 kilometers. And then for the last 5 kilometers, I went to the border, to the flanks of a mountain. And when they finally, they took them quite a bit of time to get out there. And afterwards, they were sitting, making rests 5, 6, 10 times on the same track, trajectory they have been used before. So your question probably touches a true point.
I know that with many species of migratory bird, there's a phenomenon known as reverse migration, where, as far as we can tell, some of these birds seem to migrate for the correct preset distance, but in the wrong direction, which brings perhaps East Asian vagrants to Western Europe when they're supposed to be in Southern Asia. And it seems that this may be something that's genetically inherited. It could bring some survival benefits to the species. It'd be interesting to see how that kind of, GPS location in birds is inherited and to what extent that enhances their survival.
Well, Hans-Peter, it's fascinating stuff. Thank you very much indeed for taking the time to talk to us today.
Okay, it was a pleasure to listen to your question. They were very well formulated.
Thank you.